Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
1 Kings 17, give me just a little bit of your time this morning, and I'll give you a little thought out of here. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. 1 Kings 17, verse number 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not dew nor rain these years be according to my... There shall not dew... Let's back up and read it right. Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Now go with me to verse number 7. The Bible said this, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth unto Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Look with me back in verse number 4 and look at the last word of verse number 4. If you're writing your Bible, I would invite you to circle that word there, right there in verse number 4. Look in verse number 9. The Bible said, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell. Here's our word again, there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman, note this, there, to sustain thee. Now, I know I've used this title before, but stay with me as I preach a new message to you this morning. Are we there yet? That's what I want to preach on this morning. Are we there yet? How many of your kids has ever said that when you started the vacation? Man, you didn't even get past the Oak Grove Market, and they say, are we there yet? I want to preach to you this morning for a little while. Are we there yet? Father, I love you today. I pray, God, that you'd help us. Lord, help us to deliver exactly, Lord, what you put in our heart this week. God, I pray, Lord, Father, that we'd get understanding from your word. And Father, I pray, Lord, that every word that needs to be said, God, that you'd give it to me today. If there's anybody here lost, I pray that you'd save them today. Anybody here out of your will, bring them back close to you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Are we there? Yeah. You know what? Everybody, it's been said this way. Let me just back up a second and say it this way. It's been said this way for many years. There is three different wills for your life. Number one, God has a will for your life. God has a specific plan that he wants to be transformed in your life. Number two, the devil has a plan for your life. Somebody give me an amen right there. The devil wants to ruin you. The devil wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your home. He wants to destroy your church. He wants to destroy everything about you. So God has a will for your life. The devil has a will for your life. But then it's also been said that you have a will for your life. You know what, as I think back over my life, and as I'm not as old as some of y'all, but I'm definitely not as young as some of y'all. And as I think back over 44 years of my life is not where I thought that it would be at. Anybody else agree with me there? Maybe you thought that, Brother Robert, that you thought that you was going to be the president of the United States of America by the time you was 40 years old. Your will didn't fall into God's will, and we all say amen for that. I'm just picking. We all have things that we think, man, it's going to go like this or it's going to go like that. But the truth of the matter is this. God has a will for our life. And when our will and God's will gets lined up together, that's when we live in peace and joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. So I ask you this question. Are you there yet? Are you there? He said, know what your Bible said. He said, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, verse number 4, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Let me show you 3 or 4 things about there this morning. Number one, when you get there, there is a place of supply. There is a place of supply. Or you could say it this way, in the same phrase, there is a place where he will sustain you. What did he say to him here in verse number 10? He said, so he arose and went to Zarephath. And the Bible, as we read on down, ends up saying, verse number 9, back up to verse number 9. Here's what he said. He said, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a woman there to sustain thee. There was some theirs in Elijah's life. There was a place of supply or a place that God was going to sustain him. You see, Elijah had left from everybody else, and Elijah had went out to the brook in obedience to God, and there at the brook was the place that God was going to meet his every need. It was there that God was going to send a crow. That's what a raven is. It was there that God was going to send the crow to feed Elijah. It was there that God was going to meet every one of Elijah's need. It was there that water would be running in the midst of a drought for a while for Elijah to have something to drink. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. If you want God to sustain you and you want God to meet your needs and you want the supernatural hand of God to supply what you need in your life, you'll have to be there. You'll have to be there. You see, I'm sure in Elijah's life, there was a different place than he thought it would be. I mean, who else is interested in running out into the middle of the desert and setting up camp by a brook? I'm not interested in it. But you know what? That's what God had for him at that time in his life. And it was there that God was going to supply him. It was there at a widow woman's house. You remember the story, don't you? Man, Elijah goes to that widow woman and he tells her to make him something to eat. And she does that. It was there that God was going to sustain him. I'm headed somewhere. Stay with me. There was a place of supply or a place of sustaining. Number two, there was a place of suspense. There was the place of suspense. I looked this word up, and here's what the word means. It's a state of uncertainty. You say, preacher, I thought that when we was in God's will, everything goes right. Well, it all goes right according to his plan, but sometimes his plan and our plan is something completely different. In Sunday school this morning, I was actually last Sunday, we looked at church finances in my class and how the church finances run in our church. And this Sunday, I was going to teach on tithing. And now here's where all the money goes. What does God say about us giving? So we was going to look at that. And I sat down and we began to talk about Brother Ryan Marlowe. And many of you knew Brother Marlowe. He tuned our piano. He pastored a church. He was God's man, and yesterday, 37 years old, unexpectedly went out into eternity, went home to be with the Lord. Now, he was at a place where he was serving God. He was in the center of God's will. He was doing what God had for his life, but God chose for some reason to leave a mother with 3 babies here on earth and take their father and her husband away. To explain that, I can't. It's suspense to me. Are you hearing the preacher this morning? We talked about Whenever we started talking about that, man, our Sunday school class just took a different direction. And we sat around and we cried and we snotted and eat chocolate muffins and cried and snotted some more. Okay? You say, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying to you. When you get there, when you get to that place where you're, I told my class this morning, the closer you get to God and the more you try to do for God, the more the devil's coming against you. Not only the more the devil is coming against you, but God begins learning as a Christian when we grow, there's more things that he can put on us. Are you with me this morning? It's a place of suspense. You said, preacher, how do you get that? Well, God commanded him to go to the brook, and then God dried the brook up. He's exactly where God told him to go. The ravens are still bringing food in. He's doing exactly, I'm talking about, are we there yet? I'm talking about when we get to that place where we're wholeheartedly serving God, there'll be times that it's a suspense. God, why is this like this? God, why is this going like this? Why is my life taking this turn? God, what are you doing in my life? It's a place of suspense sometimes. God takes Elijah from the brook and takes him then to a widow's house. She makes him that little cake and he begins to stay there. And the story goes on in chapter number 17. You that knows your Bible knows this. That the day come in verse number 17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. Now God has took Elijah to a brook and dried the brook up. Now God, in his supply and sustaining, takes him to another place. Elijah listens to God. Elijah goes there, and guess what happens when he gets there? The lady's son, the widow's son, ends up dying when Elijah gets there. When you get there in your life, there's going to be some times you don't understand why things are going the way that they are. There's going to be some times in your life where you look around and you think, God, where are you at? God, I've took my family to church. Let me preach to us men for just a minute. I'm trying to lead my family to the house of God. I'm trying to do what's right. I'm trying to live according to your will. God, I'm even giving to you like you commanded me to do in the Word of God. I'm tithing. I'm doing everything I can do for you, Lord. And now here I sit at a place and everything has gone wrong. That's where Elijah's at. It's a place of suspense. But watch this there. There's a place of supply. I'm headed to the very last point. That's all I really want to preach to you. But stay with me while we get there. It's a place of supply. There is a place of suspense, but there is a place of supplication. Watch this. The Bible said, chapter number 17, verse number 20. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought this evil against the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child there three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come in to him again. When you get there, God will supply your needs. When you get there, there will be some times of suspense, but when you get there, allow your suspense to lead you to a supplication. Elijah's got one of two things he can do right here. Elijah can get bitter, walk out on the lady, her son's just died, and say, you know what, I'm trying to serve God, and everywhere I go, man, something happens. The brook dries up, she and her son's dead. God, where are you at? God, why are you doing this to me? I don't understand this. Elijah could have walked out and missed out on something huge fixing to happen in his life. But you know what he does? He finds himself, Brother Aaron, going, oh God. Oh God. You know, a lot of times in our mind we think that our prayers have to be so long. And we think that our prayers have to be so eloquent. And we think that everything has to be said in the right way. Here's what he said. O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? He stretched himself out over him and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. That's all he prayed. That's all he prayed. He didn't pray for Bertha, and he didn't pray for Jim. And Brother Jim needs some prayers, but he didn't pray for Jim. I just thought about Jim whenever I said Jim. Jim's here this morning. He didn't pray for Josh, and he didn't pray for Jesse, and he didn't pray for Caleb, and he didn't pray for this one and for that. And he said, God, we've got a need right here, and I need you to come down here and get in the middle of this mess that I'm in and do something with it. That's what he done. I see his supplication. I see his supplication. There is a place of supply. There is a place of suspense. There is a place of supplications. Number four, watch this. There. It's all happening there. Are you with me? He had to be there to see all this happen. There is a place of supernatural occurrences. There is a place of supernatural occurrences. You say, well, preacher, how do you get that? Well, can I ask you a question this morning? Will you be real honest with me? Can I ask you a question this morning? How many has ever had a crow bring you something to eat? Anybody? There's been a few times when I've been hiking, and we was talking about that a while ago. Brother Cody and Miss Sarah and I, and just talking about a hiking trip they went on yesterday, and said, I believe we took the hard way in. And there's been a few times that I've been on them trips where I would have loved for a crow to come by and drop me a pack of orange nabs. Somebody say amen right there. Are you with me? There's been times that I've walked by the creek and stuck my head in it and hoped that a native trout would swim into my mouth. I mean real sushi, Brother Greg. That's real sushi right there. I've never had a raven feed me. But God led Elijah to a brook. And if Elijah was going to be sustained, and if Elijah was going to be supplied during that time, he had to be there. There was a place that the crows was coming by. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God may have rattled some crows, something by somewhere to you, but if you're not there, you're not going to experience it. Say, preacher, how is this a supernatural occurrence? Well, can I read something to you? Verse number 22. And the Lord God heard the voice of Elijah. What about that? And the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. Verse 23, the latter portion of it, when he takes him to his mama, he says, see, thy son liveth. See, thy son liveth. Elijah has just experienced a miracle of God bringing somebody back from the dead. Now, I'm not saying God's going to bring somebody back from the dead for you. Understand me. But Elijah experienced a supernatural occurrence. If Elijah had not have been there, he'd have never experienced it. He'd have never experienced it. So, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. You got to be there. Are we there yet? You got to be there. Don't nobody get mad, okay? I'm about to my last point. I'm about to my last point. We're fixing to be done. I'm about to my last point. On Friday nights this week, we moved Wednesday nights to Friday nights. Not this week, this month. We moved Wednesday nights to Friday nights. Now, I understand work comes into equation. Some can't be here because I understand that. But some didn't come on Friday night just cause. Let's just be honest. Just cause. I'm not fussing, okay? We've had a great crowd. I'm not going to fuss at you for not coming to church. That's a decision that you're going to have to make. 16 years ago, I'd jump up and down and fuss about it. We're all adults. You got to make the decision. If you want to come, it's there. And this past Friday night, it was there. I'm telling you. The night I got saved, I went to church. The Holy Spirit, come start playing softly. The Holy Spirit, I'm about to get to where I want to preach at. The Holy Spirit convicted me of my sins. That night, I repented of my sins and got saved. But you know what? If I hadn't been there, God may not have convicted me. There's a lot of youngins around here. Matter of fact, when we count from the nursery to 18-year-old, if all of them's here, we have around 60 to 65 kids. And you know what? Especially in those younger age groups, there's going to come a day they need to get saved. Till they reach the age of accountability, they're fine. They're going to go to heaven. You say, what is that age? It's when they realize they're lost. It's not an age. It's not a number. It's when they realize they lost and they're in need of a Savior. And you know what? The day that God may have been going to speak to their heart, instead of being there, you may have had them somewhere else. You see, it's important to be there. You don't see God meet your needs, be there. When those times come in your life and you don't know what to do, you need to be there. Because it's there that supplication was made. It was there that supernatural occurrences took place. There. Let me tell you what a supernatural occurrence is. It's when you've prayed for that loved one or you prayed for that child and you see them brought to life, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. You see them get saved. And it's all because you was there. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Now, I preached all that. We like that, don't we? We like to see God meet our needs. We like to see God take care of everything in our life. In those times of suspense, we love crying out to God and begging God to help us. We love seeing Him step in. But I preached all morning to get right here. And I'm just going to give this to you and we're going to go home. The only way that Elijah was there is because there came a day in his life where he surrendered. You see, there's a place of surrenderance. You'll never get there until you learn to surrender. Listen to this. Verse number 4. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Watch the next verse. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith. What do you have to do? You had to go there. You had to surrender. Watch this. Verse number 10. Verse number 9. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a woman there to sustain thee. Watch verse number 10. So he arose and went. You see, there'll have to come a time in your life, if you're ever going to get there, it's going to have to come a time in your life where you surrender everything to him. I thought about this week. I'm going to give you this illustration. And I know I'm preaching a little bit different this morning, but that's all right. Sunday school was completely different. Wednesday night, Leslie and I and the girls went to Brother Granville's. Brother Granville's a pastor out of our church. Their first week in our new building. It's beautiful, isn't it? Man, it's Mrs. Jamie was there. It's beautiful. Beautiful, man. It's beautiful. My mind went back. A lot of you know Granville. And you that don't, you've seen his trucks and his equipment, Branch Graydon. My mind went back years ago. He had just become a member here at our church. And I let him preach one night. Brother Granville was preaching on surrendering everything to Christ, giving him everything. Brother Granville reached in his billfold, and he's one of those guys that his billfold's about that thick. I don't necessarily know that it's because of money, just because he's got so many cards and stuff stuck in it from people, and I can't stand a billfold like that. That one's too thick for me. But anyway, I can't stand it. That's the reason people have back problems, okay? I can help you. I can save y'all money. All the money you're giving to the chiropractor, you can give to the Lord if you'll get rid of that thick billfold, okay? But I'll never forget. He said, there come a day in my life, and he took his billfold out and he went like that. He said, that ain't my billfold. That's God's billfold. He said, everything in that billfold is God's, since it's not mine. He reached in his pocket that night, and he pulled out a great big, Brother Lord, a great big set of keys. It looked like there's 147 and a half keys on that thing. Looked like Miss Eva when she used to come in church, Miss Summer, with that one on her. Y'all know, y'all that's been here for years remembers who I'm talking about. She had a car and lived in a bedroom at her daughter's house, but she had more keys than janitor of Surrey County Schools. Lloyd pulled those keys out, and on those keys was a whole bunch of caterpillar keys. At that time, Brother Lloyd, or Brother Granville, he owned several pans and them articulating off-road dump trucks, and he still does. He had a very successful business. And he pulled them out, and here's what he said. He said, I've had to come to the place where these keys, they're not mine. He threw them in the offering plate. He said, they're his. He said, they're his. God don't want me doing this business. It's his business. He's got something else for me. It's his. He had his family stand up. He said, there's my wife and there's my three boys. And he said, they're his. He said, they're not mine. He said, they're his. He said, I'm trying to preach and do what's right. If God wants me to go somewhere else one day, my ministry's just his. I'm talking about, are we there yet? He said, it's all his. He laid it all down there. He had a bunch of stuff laying around there and pointed his family out. I sat down there Wednesday night and watched one of his boys that's a preacher play the piano and watched his other boy that's now a preacher too lead the choir and watched him stand up and open the service in a beautiful new auditorium at a church that he's pastoring now that God's given him. And now they've built, and it was packed out. They're going to have to build again before long. Let me tell you the reason all that's happening in his life. It's because he got there. He got there. He got there. It's not my church, it's his church. It's not my vehicles, it's his vehicles. It's not my money, it's his money. It's not my wife, it's God's wife. It's not my children, it's God's children. Are we there yet? He would have never sought, listen to me. I wish you'd hear me this morning. He'd have never sought the supernatural hand of God in his life if he hadn't have been there. And here's what we do. I promise you, I'm trying to finish, but I want to remind God, I believe God wants to help somebody today. I believe that in all my heart. Here's what we do. We sit back and we plan our life. I can work to this age or to get this, and this took care of, and then I'll do this, and this, and this, and this. But what if that's not there? What if there is God wanting you to walk away from every bit of that so he can prove his supernatural power to you? But preacher, if I can just do this, and this. This week I was talking to a man. And he's a businessman. And we was talking about his company. And this individual, he goes to a church and is trying to serve the Lord and trying to live for the Lord. He works in his church when he can and helps in his church. And according to him, he gives to his church and tries to help his church. And here's what he said. He said, the first of this year, he said, I thought, man, this is going to be a struggle this year. said, I thought this is going to be a struggle this year. He said, but I stayed faithful. He said, preacher, I'm sitting here today. He said, I don't know how it's all coming in. I don't know how it's all happened. He said, God's blessed my company. Let me tell you what happened. He got there. He got there. He got to the place, Brother Scotty, where it wasn't his company. It was God's company. Things, there has to come that time in our life where we say, Lord, here am I. You know, I want my kids to grow up and my heart's desire, I'll say it, my heart's desire is to buy some property somewhere between here and my mom and dad's house one day and Leslie and I to have a little place there and to have some land to give my kids and my kids be able to build right there next to me and my kids serve the Lord with me in church the rest of our life and them marry good godly young men. I'd love for one or two of them to marry a preacher and maybe one of them follow me here in the ministry one day. That's all my plans. But you know what? God may have the plan to send one of my little girls to a mission field somewhere. But if I'm there, God's hand will help me through that. I told my Sunday school class this morning, the worst day of our life could be today. But you know what, Miss Shannon, if it is, and I'm there, are we there yet? If I'm there, if I'm where God wants me, then I'll see His supernatural hand in my life while I'm there. Miss Dawn, when he was laying in the hospital, we thought he was going to die. You was there. I watched God's hand in your life during that time. I watched you remain faithful to God, and we watched God do something supernatural, and He said with us today, why? Because we was there. Are we there yet? It may cost us something to get there. Elijah had to walk away from everything and go to a desert, but he was there. And guess what else was there? An old crow to give him something to eat. Elijah left that place. Thought, man, what am I going to do now? And he got to another place. And when he got there, the boy died. He said, God, I need you. And God said, all right, I'll raise him from the dead. But Elijah would have never experienced it if he hadn't have been there. Are we there yet? Father, I love you.